He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Thursday. It is the March 31st, end of the first quarter of 2021, edition of the Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson and a chartered financial analyst, Barry Kite. And Barry, they are bombarding Kyiv as we speak.
What a ride this first quarter has been, huh?
Yeah, and it would seem that, surprisingly, that Vladimir Putin is not a man of his word. Well, I guess not so surprisingly.
Right. Yeah.
We're going to back off from Kyiv, you know, and the market celebrates like it's 1999 on Tuesday. And I didn't feel like it was 1999. I felt like it was 2022 still. And I just saw a headline that he's just bombarding the heck out of Kyiv right now. So the market, which this morning it was kind of commodities down, tech up, but now we're back to that old theme, commodities up, tech down, with the Dow now down. Let's see, the Dow Jones is down. Oh, where did it go? There it is. The Dow's down 180 right now to 35,048. A lot of that's Walgreens, which reported earnings, WBA. The NASDAQ's now down 69. I'm seeing a big drop in AMD on a downgrade today. It's at 14,373. S&P's down 16. Russell 2000, the small caps are up today. Crude oil's down 335. We'll get into that on the strategic oil reserves, the plans for that from Biden administration. Gold's up 690. There's your war premium back in gold real quickly. 1946 is where it's at now. And the 10-year, there's some risk off and some flight to safety as it drops clear down to 2.33 today. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management, and chartered financial analyst Barry Kite. I'm seeing the end of the first quarter, and most of the business channels are calling it a wild quarter, to say the least. And Barry, I sent out a message to all of our subscribers, you know, the live trading subscribers and our clients today. I said, you know, as the first quarter of 2022 comes to an end, we are sticking with our theme for the year of rising interest rates, inflation, shortages, and global conflict. And I think as we go through the news today, you'll see that there's plenty of that. It reinforces our themes. And even though we've had some hot runs in the spec tech and in the tech sectors and the high PE growth sectors, they don't last for very long. It's more of a trading opportunity, and then they seem to fizzle out. I also said at the end of the day yesterday, it's just been my observation. Now, Barry, you can dispute this if you think I'm wrong, but it's been my observation that these rallies in tech sold off throughout the year, and the sell-offs in fertilizer, oil, gold are bought. Is that a fair analysis of what I've seen so far in 2022?
I think that premise holds pretty well. I mean, you can, if you just look at, you know, some of these sell-offs in tech and how long things took, right, to get back, or, you know, they didn't even necessarily get back to their high, but just, you know, to make some progress and bottom out a bit and then start heading in the right direction, versus, you know, the oil and gas, fertilizer names, a lot of your commodity stocks. It's been, you know, you have a sell-off, it lasts for a day or two, right? And then you've got folks coming in, and in a lot of these situations, you're hitting, you know, again, hitting new highs when you're looking at the chart there. So it's certainly a lot of volatility out there. I think there's a I guess what we say, a stronger bottom, certainly in any of those sale periods for some of these commodity names.
Yeah,
so we know we're going to use them. I mean, we know we're going to use them. We know the prices are not not going down at this point, and it's kind of riding on the wall.
Shortage. Yeah, I think the shortage issue plays into that inflation. And so today, I mean, the big news when we woke up, it happened last night, was President Biden has a plan to take 1 million barrels a day of oil out of the strategic reserve. Okay, not from Canada, not from Texas, no, not from out of the strategic reserve, which in my opinion, that's just a Band-Aid on a problem that needs surgery. And I think the markets figured that out pretty quickly. Because this morning you saw a big sell-off in commodities and oil on that news. But then as more news started trickling in, especially from Europe, where they face an energy crisis, you saw the market turn around just like it did yesterday, where commodities were down and then they came storming back. And the same thing happened this morning. They were down and then they came storming back once again. So anyways, let's just wrap up yesterday, what happened in the market yesterday. It was Wednesday that we had the big rally in the market. No, it was Tuesday where we had the big rally in the market, and it looked like tech was back, spec tech was back. I was seeing all these little breakouts in a lot of the high-flying names like ServiceNow, Snowflake, NVIDIA, and it was really tempting. I mean, it was like, I don't know if you had to read it, but in seventh grade, we read the Homer and the Iliad and him sailing by the island where the beautiful women singing, you know, trying to bring him in, the song of the sirens. Let me tell you, Barry, on Tuesday, the songs of the sirens were singing a beautiful tune to me, and I'm looking at Paylocity, and I'm looking at Paycom, and I'm looking at Snowflake, and I'm looking at ServiceNow and AMD. They were beckoning to me. And I tied myself. I didn't tie myself to the mast like you know, he did. Instead, what was the main character? It was Homer's Iliad. Ulysses.
I should know.
Ulysses.
Our son just went through one of them.
But I did tie myself to my, I put a rubber band around my wrist and snapped it every time I went to buy ServiceNow. And, the definition of a bear market in a sector or in a stock is the rallies are sold and you continue to make lower highs and lower lows, okay? The definition of a bull market in a sector or a stock is the sell-offs are bought, just the opposite. So I continue to see that pattern in the market. And it's hard to sit through days when you're seeing the spec tech going crazy and ARK Funds makes a 30% move. But look at the one-year chart of ARK, A-R-K-K, and you'll see just how much it's just been blasted. And I just don't see where the fundamentals, I mean, they've gotten cheaper, yes, but they still are long-duration stocks. So anyways, that's just my take. That's my analysis, and I have to sit tight and hold to my themes that I established early on this year. That works more often than not. But we do have, look, we're not without tech stocks. We have several still that we own, but they're the really high-quality ones. I think all of ours pay a dividend, too, of some sort. That seems to be a magic bullet here in 2022 also. Is having dividend pairs. I know these dividend ETFs have performed a lot better than the non-dividend, just the pure growth ETFs. And by nature, the dividend pairs tend to fall more into the value camp and the short duration rather than the long duration out there on the horizon innovative types of stocks. All right. Well, let's take a look here. Yesterday was a good day for those commodity stocks once again. Last time I looked, we were up for the day so far. I don't know if we're holding on to that, but it was strength in the commodities.
Still holding strong. Getting a little stronger, actually.
Ah, man, that's what I like to hear. I didn't give in to those songs of the sirens. Yeah, I'm seeing movement. I sent out the list of winners for us. It's all the commodities. Cleveland Cliffs, Nutrien Fertilizer, CF Industries, all the sexy stocks today. Iron ore pellets and fertilizer. What could be better? That's the winning cocktail for 2022. Well, we've got to talk about the Ukraine situation and the gas problem. Europe needs gas. We'll be right back. Welcome back here to the second quarter of today's Best Stocks Now show. The Dow right now down 200. It's gotten a little worse here as the news out of Ukraine seems to be that they're picking up the bombardment of Kyiv, a city they said, well, we're going to pull back from Kyiv and head towards another city. No. It was a bluff, it would seem, and the S&P's now down 13. That's only 0.3%.
And what always threw me off was picking up from one objective and concentrating on another objective is not a it's not a de-escalation. So
no,
I mean it's just not.
No,
I mean, we all hope it is.
You're just
but it's not.
You still have all the pieces on the chessboard, and I think, if anything, it was a bluff. Now, one of the indicators of how things are going, aluminum seems to be a very key one to watch. Aluminum prices yesterday started to soar again. They rebounded 3% as people realized, yeah, you know what, I don't think, because Russia's a major producer of aluminum and other industrial metals. So anytime the war drums pick up in Ukraine, you see, yesterday was a huge day for the mining stocks. BHP, which is out of the UK or Australia, I can't remember which, and the other big one is BHP, and there's another real big one out of the UK. It had a really big day yesterday. Rio Tinto had a big day yesterday. RIO, they're basically breaking out to new all-time highs. Glencore is another one out of the UK.
Yeah, BHP is the Australian one.
Australia. What's the one out of the UK? Is it... I'll get to it here in a minute. But anyways, I know that Rio Tinto, where's Rio Tinto headquartered?
I think that's in Brazil, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, it had a giant day. And there's also some activity going on in South America where Chile's going to, I supposedly, give them guarantees, political guarantees that they won't shut them down and whatnot. But that's always a big risk down there in South America. So,
yeah,
but they
Rio,
had a,
Rio's actually, that might be the one you're thinking of. They're actually headquartered in London, even though
UK.
Even though they're an, I mean, they're an Anglo-Australian, you know, multinational. They're basically everywhere, but their headquarters is now in London.
And Freeport-McMoRan had a good day yesterday. They're also really looking at the crypto, trying to really crack down there. On Russia, they don't want Russia going around those sanctions with the cryptocurrencies. And the other big news yesterday, Poland is looking to reduce its reliance on Russian oil. Okay, we've heard about Germany; they're pledging to eliminate all oil imports from the country by the end of the year, and they're also going to stop Russian coal imports. And I'm seeing the coal stocks here today moving again higher. And there's also some very important pipelines that go through Poland And of course, Poland, you know, you're receiving all those refugees in Poland and still buying Russian gas and letting the pipeline run through your country. So that's under pressure. That's only bad news for natural gas, which continues to move higher. And natural gas is much more expensive in Europe than it is here. And they're also looking at more sanctions. I don't know what else they can do other than totally cutting off and not buying anything at all from Putin. So how are we going to replace the oil that we're not getting? I think there's still ships coming here that we have to offload from Russia and whatnot. But now you got the Biden administration weighing a plan to release around 180 million barrels of oil from the Strategic Petroleum Reserve, and what would be the largest release from the stockpile since it was created in 1975.
He's turned the spigot on. He's opened the spigot on that thing.
Yeah, I mean, I don't see where this is the emergency that we've been waiting for when we have stockpiles in Texas and in Canada. Why, you know, this is for a rainy day, a big time rainy day. But you know, look, they make the tumbled oil prices went clear down to $100.50. It's back to 103 now. I just think that's kind of a bandit. He would like to see 1 million barrels released daily over the course of 6 months. Let's just drain that thing. But analysts are still debating its benefits and whether it would put a dent. I don't think so. It's a band-aid in the inflationary forces seen in the current environment. So that was the big news yesterday. There's supposedly going to be an announcement today at 1:30 p.m. The national average gas price, $4.23. This time last year it was $2.87. I like that a lot better, $2.87. This would be a biggest release since the Libyan Civil War in 2011, Hurricane Katrina. Now, there's the kinds of things that this should be saved for, Hurricane Katrina.
Especially, that hit and tore up an entire, you know.
Yeah, your actual infrastructure.
Well, an oil-producing area and a refining area, right? So you needed that release because you essentially destroyed the infrastructure that, you know, that you relied upon. Versus, right, essentially what amounts to a supply shock. I mean,
yes,
there's a war involved, but in reality at home here, right, it's a supply shock.
And we will have more natural disasters. Okay, the Strategic Reserve currently holds 563 million barrels of oil, its lowest level in 20 years since 2002. And then, of course, you've got the whole issue with the rubles. You know, here Germany's going to send Russia a big payment for the gas because of decisions they made, you know, a long time ago. And Putin wants rubles, and Germany says no. And so now I guess they're going to get an intermediary to kind of be a, you know, like an exchange. When you cross the border in Mexico, there's all the, you change your dollars for pesos and coming back pesos for dollars, etc. Jobless claims, 202,000. There was an inflation report too, and I saw it on TV, but I couldn't find it in Seeking Alpha. It wasn't the CPI or the PPI. It was the, what do they call that? It's with the personal price index. Something to that with that the
yeah, it was,
the,
it's
the
one
Fed
of those surveys. It's like a survey. Yeah, I'll find it. I saw the headline. I saw the same headline earlier. I know, but let's get to that one. I'll look for it in the break.
It's kind of like how much you and I pay for a chuck roast, you know, at Walmart for Sunday's dinner or at Harris Teeter. It's more the stuff we use and buy, and it did exceed the estimates. When we come back, we have to talk about natural gas and the natural gas stocks. This is Bill Gunderson and Barry Kite. And welcome back here to the second half of today's Best Stocks Now show. Well, natural gas seems to be the key commodity in 2022, and of course, one of the solutions that Europe has is buying our natural gas. So we're shipping it to them via ship. The Henry Hub, which is in Oklahoma, prices rose 4% in early trading. Now, here's the we've said this before, but, you know, your big natural gas stocks in the U.S. are Cheniere, which actually is, they're the ones that have the big hub there in Texas to ship that liquid natural gas. LNG is the name of the company, and they're sold out for the next many years. There's Devon Energy, DVN, and these companies, a lot of them, I think they're testifying today before Congress on various things. Chesapeake's a big natural gas producer, CHK, EQT is another one, EQT, and Range Resources, ROC. And then there's a lot of little players also, and we continue to have a fairly good exposure to natural gas stocks. Which apparently that's an acceptable, form of fuel, fossil fuel, still a fossil fuel, but that is acceptable in Europe. Not the black crude stuff, but it is, and
as green. It sounds like it's almost like the, remember when they started coming out with the term natural for foods, right? Which basically had there's no
this is natural gas. Natural, it's organic. Yeah, this is there's like no green. Chemicals yeah. in it. It's good for your health. That's a good point. And of course, they're looking at nuclear to. It's the power plants that is the big issue here. Now, while Germany's cutting a check to Russia, they're raiding the Gazprom. Gazprom is the Russian company. I remember, I think it was back, it was when Reagan was president. Reagan did not want that, he did not want Europe to allow that pipeline to be built going from Russia to Germany. He wanted to do business with someone else. But, of course, they went ahead, did business with and let that pipeline go ahead. And Gazprom is the major, that's the big Russian company that basically every, 60, 50% of the gas is handled by Gazprom, a pretty corrupt Russian company. I see today that Gazprom's German offices are being raided by the EU in an antitrust probe. Well, they kind of have a monopoly, so they can get away with that kind of stuff. So this war is impacting all kinds of things out there. And now they're raiding the Gazprom offices to see if they've been fixing gas prices, because the people in Europe aren't real happy about how much they're paying to heat their home, etc. Anyways, here's an update on COVID. Okay, we haven't heard about COVID for a while. It seems to be pretty much gone as having an impact on our economy. Biden tells lawmakers to authorize billions more in COVID spending. He wants another $15.6 billion in COVID spending. So they're fighting on that one. The president received his second COVID booster shot on Wednesday. So there's going to be, some announcements coming on the COVID. Now we got to go to the Fed. Another one of our big, I think the items we've talked about so far, go along with our themes of shortages and inflation. And the other big one is rising interest rates. I think it's almost a certainty with the Consumer Price Index, CPI, at its highest in 40 years. I think it's a certainty that we'll get a 50 basis point hike in May. The Fed's Barkin says he's open to hiking policy rates, but unless, you know, unless inflation really cools down between now and then, I don't really see that. And, of course, we did have an inversion of the yield curve. If you blink, you missed it. I must have got up
morning,
to get a Mountain Dew or something. I missed it. It actually inverted for a few minutes, and then it all of a sudden put about 5 or 6 points between it. I haven't looked at it today. It's got to be pretty close to inverting today.
Well, and most of it's in, and most of it's inverted. I mean, it's inverted from 3 years to 10 years. We just haven't gotten to two yet.
No.
You know, the true inversion is when your very short term rate is higher than your long term rate, and that's the one that's kind of tended to indicate, you know, recession on the horizon. It's done a pretty good job of actually indicating that over the years. But I mean, you know, I don't think it'll be long before we get some short term rates, you know, pushing up, because, you know, this Fed gauge, the it's the Personal Consumption Expenditures Price Index.
That's
by the way.
It.
Also
pot
known as
roast.
Also known as
I call
core
it the pot
PCE,
roast.
Right? Index. Yeah, it's
things
and it's
we
funny,
use.
All these, yeah. Well, what's funny is these all, you know, and the Fed actually, you know, this is what the Fed considers to be the most reliable inflation indicator.
Yes,
and
exactly.
And it came in, you know, 5.4% increase from a year ago. And it's the largest increase in 40 years. So, I mean, this is the one number for inflation that the Fed looks at. It's coming in, you know, very hot in their opinion. And so, I mean, what's the cure for that, right? It's a rate increase on the short end of the curve, which, like you said, likely. You know, I think a majority of folks are leaning to 50 basis point move. I mean, whenever anything says the highest since 1983, right? You're like, we all know what inflation was.
That was a watershed
those years,
20%,
right? So it's a big deal, and you know, it's funny, these indicators, like a lot of these inflation indicators, we didn't have to pay attention to near as much for, you know, 10 years.
No,
I mean, the Fed was
nothing.
You know, running
there
between
was nothing.
You know, yeah, and their goal was three, and they couldn't even hardly, they could barely keep it above two.
Our friend Kathy Wood still says we have a deflation problem, but I don't agree with that. Now, let's go to the shortage. We have three stories on shortages here. These big chemical companies, you don't realize, a lot of people don't realize, there's no substitute for natural gas as a raw material in plastic, in a lot of paint and fertilizer, etc., to make the chemicals. So BASF is one of the biggest chemical companies in the world. They're in Germany. They're warning of potential damage to their operations from Europe's power crunch. They would need to literally stop production if natural gas supplies fall to less than half of what it needs. So, you know, that's another fallout from all of this. Okay, lithium supplies and the supplies to make batteries are in very short supply. How short are they? President Biden will sign the Defense Production Act as soon as this week to encourage increased domestic production of minerals needed to make batteries for electric vehicles. That's why you're seeing MP materials spiking. There's also an ETF, the rare earth ETF. But, you know, this is done in wartime. I mean, that's for wartime, which, you know, I think they used it during COVID, which was a war. That's how bad this situation is in many different commodities. Now, YPF down in Argentina, they're warning of diesel shortages. Argentina's a big agricultural and food producer. What do tractors use? They use diesel. Argentina saying we're scrapping. We hope to have enough diesel to get us through the farming season. So he's just seeing all kinds of shortages. Okay, now we get to inflation. Chipotle rolls out more price increases. Now, besides, you know, that other index you just read, which includes pot roast and things like that, things we use, it also includes your carne asada burritos with guacamole at Chipotle. I hope that's in that index because they're going up.
Well, you're not going to be able to get both of those in the same burrito anymore. It's going to be too expensive. You're going to have to either go carne asada or guacamole.
Well, it's 3.3% higher for steak/barbacoa, 3.1% higher for carnitas, and 2.4% higher for chicken. There's the real inflation index right there. All right, well, inflation, shortages, rising interest rates. You can make money from all of this. We'll talk about that when we come back. Welcome back here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now show. I see the NASDAQ has pulled back to almost even. It's right there, right on the line there, ready to go green. The Dow, however, is still down 120. It's mostly Walgreens, WBA. Okay, I'm going to rattle off some stocks here. So there's some charts here that really are interesting. I'm looking first at UNG. UNG is the natural gas ETF. Now, that's just literally, you're buying an ETF that tracks the Henry Hub price of natural gas. Look at that chart. Okay, that 12.7 divided by 12, that's an 85% increase in UNG ETF since the beginning of December. 85% increase in UNG. Now, how about a $4 stock? Yeah, that sounds good. I know a lot of people out there, give me a low-price stock. I can buy more shares of it, which, you know, that's doesn't really work that way. But anyways, if it goes up 9%, it doesn't matter if it's a $1,000 stock or a $4 stock. Here's one that's up 9.4%, Polymet Mining, PLM. Now, I'm going to read the description of what they do, and you'll know why it's up 9.4%. Canadian company engaged in the exploration and development of nickel, copper, and other precious metals. But it lists nickel first, so I got to believe that nickel's probably their main thing, and we know what's going on in the nickel markets. It's more than a nickel. It's $4.09. Okay, let's go to one we just mentioned, EQT, which is a big stock, $13 billion natural gas out of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. EQT Corp, the symbol is EQT. That stock is breaking out to a new 52-week high today. It is a major player in that natural gas arena. And then the shipping stocks. There is still massive pressure. When we came in, we took a little venture outside the harbor Saturday just to see. I had a friend in town. It was a little windy and choppy out there. We got roughed
up a little
bit. It
was definitely choppy.
Yeah.
Out there that
Did
day.
You see me? Like I mean, there was spray flying
winds.
Over the boat. I had, you know, just caked in salt water.
Took them on an amusement park ride. That's what that was.
We fished for 5 minutes. I said, nah, this is not worth it. But at least my buddy got to get out in the Atlantic Ocean there a little bit. And they've been doing really well on the big sheep's head out there. And, dang it, we were right on the spot and had to turn around. But anyways, coming in, we have 6 stalls for giant freighters. We have 3 on the Wando River and 3 on the Cooper River, which both dump into the Charleston Harbor. They are full all the time. There was a couple, I think there's 20 or 15, something like that, out there waiting to be unloaded. So shipping cost, Scorpio Tankers. Okay, that's they own 135 vessels. The symbol is STNG. They're headquartered in Monaco. That's where we need to open an office, is in Monaco. I actually had a relative.
Brick and mortar office.
I had a relative that lived in Monaco, overlooking the Mediterranean. Look at that chart on STNG today, Scorpio Tankers. That's a beautiful breakout. We talk about relative strength, which compares it against all the other stocks out there. It has a relative strength of 94 on a scale of 1 to 99. Scorpio Tankers, STNG. And then we'll do one more natural gas stock.
And the trick with them is they actually transport refined petroleum products, by the way. So that's they're in the right market.
So if you shut down Putin's pipeline, you have to ship the liquid natural gas. That's why there's such a shortage of this goat falls into our shortages theme for 2022. And we'll just do one more, which I've mentioned before. The symbol is NEXT. It's setting up pretty nicely, and they're right in the, you know, this is a small, this is a $6.31 stock. It is headquartered in Houston. Houston, we have a problem. Next Decade is on it, NEXT. They provide liquefied natural gas, and they focus on supply and trade of natural gas to customers worldwide. Now, they're just a tiny little player. Relative strength of 99. Okay, this is a strong... I don't see where they even have any sales yet. I'm not showing any sales whatsoever. So this one's out there on the horizon, but it's zoomed up from 2 to 6 in the last... Maybe this is turning into a meme stock. Next Decade Corporation would be another one I would admit. Okay, well, we're all out of time. I've had so much fun here doing this, and again today. Every year is different in the market. I've been through a couple of commodity cycles in my 23 years, so I know the go-to stocks when these commodity cycles come along. And you know what? You just have to be kind of adaptable and flexible in the stock market because... this is totally upside down. We're totally upside down from where we were in the market a couple of years ago. And certainly over the last 40 years where we've had falling interest rates, not anymore. We've had zero inflation. Natural gas has not gone anywhere in years, Barry, in years. And now all of a sudden it's the hot topic and the hot stock. It's not telemedicine anymore. It's LNG. If you'd like to, I'm working on the newsletter today. I'm going to update all the portfolios today. I'm looking at a couple of new buys here today, potential new buys. I see some stuff that really looks good to me. I've made a few this week, actually. They'll show up in this week's newsletter. I'll be updating the macro outlook for the rest of the year and next year. Get 2 free weeks of the newsletter, 855-611-BEST. Or GundersonCapital.com. Set up an appointment. Talk to Barry, 855-611-BEST. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.